This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3966 for Monday, the 16th of October, 2023. Today's show is entitled VimHints 6. It is hosted by some guy on the internet and is about 25 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, various contributors led us on a journey of discovery of the Vim and by editors. You are listening to a show from the reserve queue. We are airing it now because we had free slots that were not filled. This is a community project that needs listeners to contribute shows in order to survive. Please consider recording a show for Hacker Public Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I am your host, some guy on the internet. Today, we're going to be doing a quick little Vim Hints episode. We have a series here on Hacker Public Radio called Vim Hints, and this is going to be included in that series. So let's get started. First thing I want to do is talk to you about my VimRC. I'm not going to explain all the elements in my VimRC. It's going to be in the show notes, so you can scroll down. You'll see a little section with my VimRC down in there. I have it pretty well labeled, so that's why I'm not going to explain every single element, but I'll just touch a few of them. So like you'll see in there, I have set number, relative number. That's one of my all-time favorites right there, the relative number. Very good. Also like setting column, where you get the set color column. You can see mine, I have it set to 80. And then I have the column set to magenta because I normally use a Dracula theme, or in this case, I'm on Papa West, and that magenta works really well with Papa West. Definitely got to set the no wrap. I do not do line wrap. You break line, but you do not wrap line. And if it's coding on top of which, like if you're writing any kind of code or scripting or anything like that, you should never be wrapping any kind of line anyway, right? Like if you're going beyond column 80, you need to be brought into a meeting. All right. That's just the way it goes. Somebody's got to bring you in. Now, I'm not saying die on that hill if it happens to be 81, 82, something like that. But the idea that you are going to wrap line while coding, absolutely absurd. Now, right underneath there is another one of my favorites. I got the set list. Now, that one's combined with set list characters. And you can see I have the characters that I like to use when I'm doing my set list. All that is the invisible characters you normally don't see, like white space, end of the line character. So it's technically not a carriage return, but it's that symbol that lets you know that this is going to be a new line, sort of. Yeah, those are just the symbols that I have for that because I like seeing these things. And then at the bottom, I'll show you the toggle that I have for that. That's how you enable it. And then you can set the characters to whatever you want. And this is very helpful because there are certain documents, XML documents and things that I pull down. Well, some of them are just text documents where they'll have a mixture of tabs and spaces in the document. And this allows me to quickly see your tab. Now, if you're going to set this up, your tab character has to be at least two characters long. So you'll see with mine, I have two of the actual bi-directional arrows for tab. That's because it has to be two characters. Now, you don't have to use that bi-directional character that I'm using, which is typically the printed on the tab key. You can use anything for it. You can use the at symbol if you wanted to. But you're going to have to use two of them when you're specifying tab. And if you don't, you're going to get a nice little error. Now, I'm thinking about turning the visual bell off. I thought it was going to help train me to be a little bit more efficient in Vim, but I think what it's actually doing is blinding me. Yeah, so I'm thinking I might have to turn that off. I commented out the auto indent and smart indent because with some of my custom things that I run in my custom sessions, that was beginning to be a problem. Like it's fine to have it when you're coding, but when you're doing like markdown and dealing with show notes and stuff, yeah, that was beginning to be a problem, as well as other things that I do with markdown. I'm not prepared to talk about those other things yet, but I was just explaining why you would see set auto indent, set smart indent, and set smart tab as commented out in my VimRC. There's some other basic stuff down there at the bottom for setting up your directories, for your undo and things of that nature. I believe episode one of the Vim Hints talks about that, or maybe it was episode two. I can't remember, but just check out the Vim Hints series. You'll definitely pick up a lot of wonderful tips. I ended up discovering the Vim Hints series after I'd said everything. You know, after I went through the trial and error, lots of duck, duck, go. Now we're at the fun part here. All right, so we got some normal maps going on down here at the bottom of the VimRC. And you can see I have silent on them because I don't want the little messages popping up at the bottom. That's all that does is you get the message that shows what you're doing. So we got the Control L is the first one for no highlight. Shout out to Dave Morris and Archer72. That was super helpful. I'm glad to have that because it was super annoying whenever I would be doing searches and things or running regex and it would be highlighting all this crap all over the place. And I'm like, oh my God, how do I get rid of this? And then I'd remember, but then I'd only need it for that one time when I'm doing it. And then I'd forget it the next time I needed it. So it was good to just pluck that right on in the VimRC. Yeah, Dave told me he matches his to Control L. So it's just like when you clear your terminal, this is clearing the highlights in Vim. So that's the idea behind using Control L. Now I got Control S. Most people would think Control S for save document. Well, we don't do that in Vim. All right. That's taboo. You're not saving document with Control S in Vim. I mean, don't get me wrong. You could do it if you wanted to, but I just choose not to. I think of it as dropping down to a shell, you know. Now you could do, when you drop down to a shell in Vim, you could do SH, right? Command SH or colon SH. Colon is command. So you can do command SH and that'll get you out of Vim to a shell. You drop completely out of Vim to a shell. Vim is placed in the background. You get to the shell, you do your job, and then you do a Control D, which then brings you back to Vim. So after you're done running your commands, I don't like to do that anymore. Like when in the beginning, when I was learning, that was helpful. I prefer term now. What I do is I drop down to, well, I bring a terminal into Vim, right? So when you run term, it'll split your screen in half, at least on mine. It splits my screen in half horizontal, right? Then I use Control W X to swap the spaces so I have my work environment on the top and my shell at the bottom. That's when I switch down to my shell using Control W and then hit like J because I moved the shell to the bottom. So I'm going to use J to get down there to that shell. And then I use Control W. I'll run like 14 minus. So type in 14 and the minus sign or hyphen, and that will reduce the size of my shell window by 14, I guess, units or whatever the measurement is, probably 14 columns or whatever, rows. In other words, it's going to make the shell smaller and make my work area bigger. So if you've ever used like Visual Studio Code, you know how you can open up that terminal at the bottom of the screen and have a little terminal down there at the bottom? That's basically what I'm doing. So I have a terminal at the bottom of my Vim session. So when I want to run, like if you're doing Python coding and you want to test your code, you can edit your code in the top screen, drop down to that shell that's always down there at the bottom, and then, you know, run your code from the terminal at the bottom down there. Now, just be careful when you're shifting buffers because that shell will count as a buffer. So say, for instance, if I only have that one buffer open and a shell, if I do a buffer next, which is command BN in my top window where my code is being edited, it will then shift me to a terminal. So you'll get used to it. By the way, I'm not a developer. I just play around with stuff and have a little fun. And speaking of buffer next, you see in there, I got leader left bracket, leader right bracket for my buffer previous and buffer next, so I can easily shift between buffers that way. Now, if I'm sometimes when I'm working with like four or five buffers, I'll just use Command B and the number of the buffer. So you just run a LS in Vim, Command LS, that'll give you your buffer numbers where you are in your stack, and then you can run buffer number to jump to that position where you need to be in the stack. That way you're not, you know, just buffer next, buffer next, buffer next, trying to get to, you know. And I used to run tabs too. I mean, tabs is fine if you like to have tabs, but when I run tabs, well, sometimes I will and most of the time I won't. All right, so next you're gonna see the leader, SO. I had to add this because I was sourcing so many things so often, like as I'm going into different work environments, right? So you're jumping from Bash, where you're going to have your Bash environment. You could jump in from Python, where you got your Python coding and all of that. And then you got these Markdown, and then it might be the older Markdown where you're using a vanilla Markdown. And then you got the newer stuff that you're doing today where I switched over to a Pandoc flavor Markdown. You know, it was a lot to try and keep up with, and you don't want all that crap in your Vim RC. So what you do is you create sessions, and you need to have a place for your sessions. And whenever you want to source your sessions, you don't want to be sitting there typing every single time Command SO and then path to session. So you just put a leader in there, run yourself a leader SO, which is going to automatically put in your path to wherever your sessions are. For me, you can see mine is just config Vim sessions. And once I run leader SO, I then just type in like the first two or three letters of the session that I want, hit tab to auto complete, enter, or carriage return, whatever you want to call it. And there you go. We're already sourcing our new session and we can begin work. Now, right after that, you see F3. I got that. Yeah, that's not a leader. That's just silent F3. That's the toggle switch for the invisible characters that we talked about earlier. So if you want to make white spaces in become visible, as well as your carriage return, I guess, you know, it's going to be that end of line symbol and any other invisible symbols like the tab symbol. Yeah, you can make all of that visible once you define what those characters are going to be, like I've described above. And this is a toggle command. You can see the exclamation mark at the end of the set list. So now every time I tap F3, I'm going to be toggling that on and off. You know, if I'm tired of looking at it, which most of the time I'm not, it just depends on what I'm doing. If I'm tired of looking at it, then I can toggle it off. After that, we got a couple leader CCs. Those are going to be for my my column highlight. So it's the color column. That's what CC stands for. Yeah, I got a couple of columns that I want to maintain. And it depends on what I'm doing. Sometimes, especially when I'm working late, getting close to the no sudo hour, you know, I really should stop working because I'm with higher chance of making mistakes and things. I have had situations where I've run regex and just completely boinked whatever work I've been doing. And to kind of help keep me from doing that, first of all, being able to visibly count the amount of spaces I'm looking at kind of helps. Then dropping these additional columns wherever I need them. So if I want to check and make sure I'm on the correct one, and I just want to be able to just at a glance look down the line, you know, there you go. So that's that. F6 and F7, those are copying to and from the system clipboard. I'm using Vim. All right, I'm talking actual Vim, not Neo Vim, not any of the other, you know, people like to call everything Vim, but I'm talking about Vim. So from my understanding, if you're using NeoVim or GVim or any of the others, sometimes they built in interaction with the system clipboard where you could use, what's that buffer called? Not buffer, it's a register, still those special registers. I can't think of what they're called right now, but you get those special registers that interact with the system clipboard. And if you're using vanilla Vim, you don't have that. So in order to interact with the system clipboard, you use a tool that interacts with the system clipboard, like Excel or Clip, you know, so that's how I do it. Now we're going to run down here to Leader 7, Leader 8. That's my turn on and off the spell command. Because with this other thing I've been doing recently, I had to add that in there. I'll talk to you more about it. I hate to keep teasing about it, but it's not ready yet. You know, that's a show that's still cooking. It's been cooking for a while now. So now we're going to move into one of my Vim sessions. This session is the main reason why I wanted to do the episode, but I first wanted to go through the RC, the Vim RC, to get you ready to discuss the Vim session. So we can run the leader SO, which is, as we discussed, going to source something. In this case, we're sourcing markdown.vim. Now, inside of markdown.vim, you can see everything that's there. These are the markdown codes, or not codes, formula, you know, whatever is it, settings. I don't know what else you call them that I use. All right. Now that first one up there, you're going to see the abbreviation, the 3-star or asterisk, whatever it's called. That's your vertical bar. I mean, not vertical, horizontal bar in markdown, right? You just, when you need a bar, you just insert a bar. You can see that leader 1, 2, 3 right afterward. That's just to, you know, set up your bullets. The F2 is a little bit special because it's meant to kind of strip out a bunch of crap. There's supposed to be an F1 in there. And they're all the way at the bottom. Okay, so there's an issue then. Because I think that second F2 up there. Yeah, there's a problem. I think that second F2 was supposed to become an F3. And I forgot to change that. So let me go ahead and change that. That's supposed to be an F3 up there. So let's substitute that for 3 real quickly. So we got some live editing in the middle of the episode there. So it's going to say F3 now for you guys. That F3, whenever I'm, say for instance, copying stuff in for the show notes and I'm trying to think of a site, Wikipedia. Right. Wikipedia always has like these footnotes and things. So when you're copying a paragraph in for your show notes, it copies in sometimes these characters you do not want. So I'm running a bit of regex to remove those characters I do not want. And this also includes those footnotes where you get like the left bracket, some number in between, followed by a right bracket, and things that look like hyphens, but are not actually hyphens. They're just like another vertical kind of slash looking thing. You know, I just want to get all those out. Now, I normally activate that using I need to fix that. All right. Now, right after that, we're going to be looking down at our 3 headings or whatever they're called. Yeah, I think they're called headings. Or header, whatever they're referred to as, your level 1, 2, and 3, followed by source. When I'm building links, what I do is I put the label for the link on the first line, the actual hyperlink itself on the second line. Now, while on the second line containing the hyperlink, anywhere on that second line, it could be at the beginning or the end or in between, while in normal mode, I do a leader L2 or a leader L1, whichever one you want to choose, and it will couple both of those lines together into a markdown link. So that just makes it fast and easy when you're doing a bunch of markdown and stuff. I first developed that when we were doing the New Year's Eve show. It was not anywhere near as refined as it is now. I think it was about like 6 lines long at the time. Yep. But you know, as time goes by, you reduce it all down to 1, and it's much nicer and neater now. Works much better as well. Oh, speaking of which, same thing for my Thunderbird. You know, I did an episode in the past about editing Thunderbird filters. Remember, that used to be 4 different steps that you would run. I condensed it all down to 1. Maybe I'll share it another day or something. I know I'm teasing. Hello, guys. This is future editing Scotty here, editing the show. I felt bad about teasing you guys about the Thunderbird thing, so I went ahead and added the Thunderbird one-liner down there at the very bottom of the show notes. And I also made sure to add a little note for you not to die on that hill, because one of you are probably going to say something about that one-liner. And I'm just telling you right now, don't die on that hill. All right. That's not a threat, just in case somebody's wondering. If you're not used to that saying, this is just a bit of advice. All right. So before you decide to load up your keyboard and head over to the comment section, just remember, I told you, don't die on that hill. There you go. Now back to our usual programming. So you get that L3, it's just adding a link. I'll probably delete that because I rarely ever use it. You got your leader N1 and your leader N2. Those are for swapping between. I had to add those because I had two separate markdown sessions, one for Pandoc style and the other for vanilla markdown. And I was thinking, like, man, there's really only subtle changes that I use between the two. I need to find a way to be able to, you know, address those changes. And that is usually line breaks, whether you're doing a hard break with a space backslash at the end of the line, or I guess it would be the soft break with the double white space at the end of the line. That's what N1 and N2, well, leader N1, leader N2, through a visual, no recursive map. That's what it'll do for me. It'll clean up those lines. So no matter which one I choose, if I want, and I have to, you can see also on the end there, after the bar, and I start that next section with the dot V, I think I got to take that dot off. I can't remember what was going on during the testing phase. Something strange was happening where it was constantly wanting to apply this to the entirety of the page. And I was like, no, don't do that. Just stick with this one line for now until I get it working right. And it would not just do that, even though I was in visual mode, right? In visual mode, I'm having only one line selected, yet Vim was still trying to select every line on the page or every line in the buffer. And so I had to put that dot there to keep it in place. And I finally got it working the way I wanted to. I got to go and take those dots out of there so that way I can apply this effect across multiple lines highlighted in visual mode. But that's for another time. I'm not going to worry about it now. At least you know what it is I'm doing. Basically, if a line does not have a break on it, meaning a space backslash or a double space, that's the break, it will add a break based on whatever selection. So N1 will add the hard break, which is the space backslash. N2 will add the soft break. And I choose N because it's new line, like at the end of the line. And in Vim, if you're selecting end of the line, it is backslash N. So that's why I just chose leader N for this thing. That's my reminder anyways. I know a lot of jibber jabber happening at the moment. My mouth is getting super dry too, so I apologize for the mouth noises if they're happening. And you can see at the end, I just throw on some no highlights as well, just to make my job easier. Now, the way those are built, if the line does not have a break on it, this will add the break. If the line has the other type of break on it, it'll convert it to the break that I want. So if it has a hard break, it'll convert it to a soft break because that's the one I want. And vice versa. If it has a soft break and I want a hard break, it'll convert it for me because that's the one I want. It just makes doing your markdown so much faster and easier. And again, you don't want all this gibberish in your VimRC, right? So that's why you put them in custom sessions. And I guess, you know, when you source your session, it's a lot like adding a plugin, except it's all homegrown, right? You just source your session and you do your thing. And it's customized to just what you want to do. C1 and C2, those are simple code blocks, right? You're adding code blocks for things. The F1 and F2. Those I don't use as much anymore. It's mainly when when text starts to sprawl beyond line 80, column 80, excuse me. I have this set up with format the width of that text into range column 76 to prevent, you know, the line from going everywhere. But I don't use it as much anymore because when you upload to Hacker Public Radio, a lot of that's taken care of for you. Yeah, so that's just the F1 and F2, simple formatting. And move on down to the next Control B, that's for creating bold text, and Control I, that's for creating italics. Now that's it for what's in my markdown.vim. I've already told you how you get it. You know, you just source it, and I got an example of how to source it using Command SO, even though it's also up above in the VimRC up there. There's an example up there. Nonetheless, I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you got any questions, leave them down below. Maybe do a show, you know, telling us what's in your VimRC, included here in the Vim Hints series. And I'll catch you guys in the next episode of Hacker Public Radio. Thank you for listening. Take it easy.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.